It's the morning shift. I'm Jen White, and I want to introduce you to someone. His name is Ian Nancaro.
I actually feel like I'm in my future right now. It's such a dream to be able to wake up every morning, walk down Chicago, of all places. I'm still having a difficult time realizing that I am where I am right now.
Ian's talking about what it means to him to work at the Chicago office at EY, formerly known as Ernst & Young. Nancaro became an associate there in January through a new neurodiversity program that employs adults with autism, Asperger's, dyslexia, and other conditions. The neurodiverse population has an incredibly high unemployment rate, above 80% by some estimates, but they also have incredible talents to share. EY's Neurodiversity Center of Excellence in Chicago is the latest move the company is making to tap that talent. Ian Nancaro joins me in studio. Also with us is Hiren Shukla, a leader of EY's Neurodiversity Program. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Jen.
Thank you very much, and thanks for having us.
So, Hiren, first tell us a little bit more about how this program began.
Sure. You know, at EY, we're committed to a diverse workforce and 270,000 people across 150 countries. We continue to think about the future of work. And we realize the future of work is dependent not only on the technology that exists today, but the ability to think differently. And what intrigues us so much about the neurodiverse population, and I'll define it quickly, autism, Asperger's, dyslexia, ADHD, dyspraxia, dyscalculia. It's really an umbrella term for something that you can't see. But we realize there is inherent power in thinking and seeing the world differently. And frankly, that's the mindset that we want. That's the talent that we need to be able not only to service our clients, but we think to make a difference in the world.
So tell us a little bit about the group at EY's Neurodiversity Program here in Chicago.
Our group in Chicago started in January of this year, as you mentioned. We have about 15 individuals, and surprisingly, most of the individuals actually moved from outside of Chicago to come in, which we found almost counterintuitive. We're trying to go into the communities that we know these individuals live and their families, but we're finding and being educated that much more, like my colleague Ian here, that finding work is really difficult, to the tune of 85% unemployment. And so when we put out a job ad, we start getting applications from all over the place. And to our surprise, we have been fortunate enough to earn the trust of our individuals such that they've actually moved here for this job opportunity. And we think there's a big responsibility. We have to make sure that we're taking care of them in their professional lives while they work and settle on their personal lives.
Ian, what was your job search like prior to the program at EY?
Well, I have a very vast amount of roles, positions, and responsibilities that I've taken up all throughout the course of my life, and both unrelated and related to my focus passion. I mean, there's been jobs that I have to take to pay the bills, and there's also been jobs I've been temporarily been able to be a part of. But they only gave me a taste of the career that I wished that I had. I would go out to software technology conventions, and I'd follow along developer blogs and send emails out to recruiters and express my interest, develop a rapport with them. And sometimes I'd be able to fly out, get an interview, fly back, and be told we needed someone local, or we needed someone that was currently in school, or someone of a certain age group. So it's always been difficult, but through all of that, I've always been able to experience just a little bit more taste, get me a little bit more hungry towards focusing and pursuing that kind of role, that kind of career in technology, in web development. I have a very technical background that, you know, it implies a lot of hope for me. And it's through that hope that I kept pursuing more and more chances. And so even though it would be frustrating and sometimes I would burn myself out, I feel like I was very lucky to have come across EY and the roles that they had for me.
How did you first learn about the program at EY?
Well, it was a very fast process. I had enrolled in an organization called the Autism Alliance of Michigan. I'm originally from Michigan. And they found this opportunity for me through EY. The day that I found out about this program was actually the same day that I submitted my resume, got a follow-up email, and spoke to the recruiting coordinator of the Neurodiversity Center of Excellence. That was such a rapid and fast pace. It was astounding. But I've been in those situations before where I had to think fast on my feet and react. Within the same week, I had an assessment test. I had another interview. And then I was being invited to Chicago for a week-long process called Super Week, where I would be able to tell if this is a position for me, as well as just as much as if I am a good candidate for them.
And when you found out you'd gotten the role at EY?
It was a very emotional experience. I was doing my best to hold back choking tears, and the recruiting coordinator that I initially spoke to rushed out in the hall to try to find me, shake my hand, and be the first one to welcome me to EY. So that was such an experience. I had to take a long walk to a very faraway building so I could call up my parents and my family and say, hey, I don't know how we're going to do this, but they want me on the team. They extended an offer to me. Here's all the details. How can we make this happen? And my father said, don't let this go to your head. Just take a deep breath. It's going to be great. We're going to figure this out. And my mom is just celebrating as if Super Bowl, some sort of major event was won. And it was a fantastic time.
That's Ian Nancaro, an associate at EY's Neurodiversity Center of Excellence in Chicago. The center is part of EY's growing neurodiverse program that taps into the talent of adults with autism. Also with us is Hiren Shukla, a leader of EY's neurodiversity program. And Hiren, Ian mentioned Super Week. Talk about what happens during that week that helps EY figure out if it's the right candidate, but also ensures that the candidate says, yeah, this is the place I really want to be.
That's a great question, Jen, and I'll provide some background context, because as we began to break down why is there 85% unemployment, we realized that it is the traditional interview process that is actually screening individuals out. We're looking at a resume, trying to assess a person, whereas their real capabilities, their real interests are not coming out. So we were very creative, and we said, how else would we do this? How do we create a forum by which they can participate in team building exercises? They can have hands-on technical assessments. And through the process of observation, that's what our Super Week is how we would be able to assess, A, can someone do this job? B, are they coachable? And C, do they really want to be here? And based upon those functions, we didn't care about degree, whether they had a degree or they not, what the degree was in. We really wanted to make sure, as Ian said very nicely, that it's a fit both ways.
And what are some of the benefits you've seen from having a neurodiverse talent pool?
So the benefits have blown us away. And to that extent, if you think about disruptive technology, emerging technology today, the forces of artificial intelligence are so powerful that they're literally looking for problems to solve. And we realize that it's been our team that looks at problems and opportunities so differently that they're challenging how we do things. And we think this outside-in thinking paradigm is literally shattering the way that we think workforce of the future is going to look like.
Did developing and growing this program require a culture shift in EY, learning how not just to reach out to the neurodiverse community, but also how to best support them within the office space?
It required a shift in process. When you think about large organizations, their recruiting functions are massive engines. And part of the shift that it required was causing us to make sure that we're looking for talent in unexpected places. So, for example, we go to campus to recruit. Instead of going to the career counseling office, we're going to the Office of Disabilities. We partner in many cases from a philanthropy perspective with nonprofit agency, but now we can partner with nonprofit agency who are working with neurodiverse individuals to find a meaningful employment. We can also work with state and government agency like vocational rehab. And so it required this shift to make us look in places that we haven't looked before and then begin to apply a slightly different recruiting and assessment model. But again, it comes back to this paradigm shift of who can see the world differently that are going to provide those ideas.
And in terms of supporting individuals once they're in the program, how have you built out that piece of the work?
Our managers in each of our neurodiverse centers of excellence have been specially trained. And in fact, we realized, Jen, that a good manager for anybody pays close attention, knows their employees, is very proactive. In fact, a good manager for a neurodiverse employee is already a good manager for a neurotypical employee. But to really round out the support system, EY has actually gone ahead and hired a neurodiverse job coach. This is an individual who's specially trained from one of the nonprofit agencies that we've been working with. And her job exclusively is to support our individuals in such that there is not a overload of anxiety or stress. And how do we provide those tactics like noise-canceling headphones, or you go into the quiet room and have a break for a little bit. And some of those small touches really end up having big impact.
Ian, how has your experience been working at EY so far?
Oh, it's been fantastic. I mean, I've spent a large majority of my life always wondering and always wanting to be part of a much larger process, to have a challenging role where my intellect is asked more than my physique. And I'm able to take on multiple roles because I like to learn and I have a very strong initiative. The projects I've been involved with have been things I've never thought I could do before, data analytics and data visualization. And on the side, I'm able to pursue artificial intelligence and expand my technical background. Recently, I've been on a project that challenges me creatively while asking for a more technical approach, going out and quantifying data. And to be honest, I mean, I've hit so many eurekas and I've hit so many dead ends that even if I have to restart back to the beginning when I find those dead ends, I'm still very much refreshed by the amount of satisfaction that I get in what I pursue.
Is there a particular accomplishment you're really proud of?
There are lots of accomplishments that I've had, such as being certified in some software that I've never even knew existed prior to this job. There's been so many different people and so many interactions that I've had with geniuses and diverse backgrounds that I've never thought I get to experience. Being from Michigan in the suburbs, you're kind of isolated in one little role or one little world. And my world has completely opened up since then. So it's been such a thrilling experience.
Here, and moving forward, what are some areas of improvement in EY's neurodiversity program? How do you want to keep it growing?
I think that we're realizing that there is a much broader population out there, some of which potentially can't make it into the office. And so we're starting to look at now using our contractor portal called GigNow. How do we access this workforce? And unlike Ian and his colleagues, there may be individuals, maybe because of anxiety or other issues, that we realize have extreme talent that could be applied, but they can't be in the office. The other angle that we're working on broadening is accessing those communities, for example, low-income communities that we realize are not receiving the neurodiversity message. And because they're not hearing it, there's a lack of early intervention and diagnosis for those children, for example, that are 3 or 4 years old and are not speaking. That is a sign of a neurodiverse child who needs early intervention. And we want to highlight what those signs and symptoms are, but we also want to provide role models like Ian to say there is hope. And there are great companies that are taking on these initiatives, not as corporate social responsibility, but really as talent innovation.
That's Hiren Shukla, a leader of EY's neurodiversity program. Also with us, Ian Nancaro, an associate at EY's Neurodiversity Center of Excellence in Chicago. Ian, Hiren, thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having us.